Item five, Tyler Wind. Mr. Owens, good morning.
Good morning. Commissioner, members of the commissions, good morning. Dr. Tyler Wind is requesting authorization for a private pier with a L-Ed floating dock totaling 1,020 square feet, a dual-slip roof that will roof both the boats and the pier at 1,480 square feet, and a clothesline mooring of this property on the Rappahannock River in Essex County. Dr. Tyler's property is about 1.3 miles upstream from the 360 bridge there across the river on the Tappahannock side. He's just north of Tappahannock, and the river's about a mile and a half wide at this location, and it is very shallow on that side of the river. Dr. Wynn's home is in with the green icon. He does not have a pier currently at that property, but their piers are very common on this river. This is his original drawing. It's a 225-foot long pier that would, in the original estimate, reach out to about the 3-foot contour. After looking at it a little bit closer and actually taking sound, as he realized that it is indeed shallow. He's only going to reach just a little over the minus 2-foot contour of that pier. This pier is depicted to scale in length, not in width. It's showing you the approximate reach of the pier. The green dashed line is the clothesline mooring that he'd like to put an additional 100 feet out beyond the pier. We're really here primarily to talk about the pier head. It's a large request. He would like a 680 square foot L head, a 340 square foot floating dock, and they will total 1,020 square feet. Now, the statute allows for 400 square feet. If you meet that criteria, you don't need a permit from the commission. So we immediately started working with him on, you know, why would you like such a large L head? And he has a big family, extended family, brothers and sisters, and apparently have very large gatherings on Sundays. And I think it's not uncommon to have as many as 20 people at the home on Sundays, and they'd like to be able to accommodate a larger family out on the pier. He also would like a dual-slip boathouse and pier shelter. We don't have any objections to the roof. We think it's appropriately sized. The neighbors aren't objecting to it. It is, you know, we've public noticed the project with no objections. The portion of the roof that would go over the pier is limited to 400 square feet, which is what the code allows by statute. And then the roof over the two slips, we believe, is appropriately sized for he owns a boat and intends to buy another one. In working with, you know, Dr. Wynn over the, you know, as to why the largest structure, and he looked at his upstream neighbor. It's one of the older piers on the river. It preceded the law change where there were no restrictions on piers. That neighbor has a shelter and a canvas, you know, single slip roof over the one boat. And the L head, which you really can't see, it measures 30 by 30, so it's 900 square feet. So he went out, pretty much followed that of his neighbor, thinking he would design something in keeping with the piers, you know, around his home. The downstream neighbor has a similar pier in the sense that they have a shelter, but the pier head is smaller. He also has a revetment along, that's his home right here, and the entire shoreline is riprapped. And one of the things he added was that the revetment kind of precludes his children, you know, that he tends to have. One of them's back there now, little guy. from accessing the river, so he sees the pier as his primary means of getting his family the recreational access to the river. We have worked diligently with him to try to come up with an administrative solution. This is what you have in front of you. We came to him and said, well, and what you have is the original design, and it's colorized, and we recommend if you would eliminate the areas in pink, it would reduce the L-head down to 400 square feet, which would be keeping with the statute. We offered an 8 by 16-foot floating dock. If you look at the lower corner of the spreadsheet, that would combine to 528 square feet, which is 128 square feet over the 400 normally allowed by the code. And we do 5 days a week, you know, work with contractors and homeowners to try to stay at 400. But we always tell people they have every right to come in here and ask for more. The code doesn't say you can't have it, but that's the norm for us, is to, you know, try to work people towards the 400. So he decided in the end that this proposal, we were prepared to offer this administratively through the permit process, and he just decided that it really doesn't serve the needs that he sees in the future for his family. So he's asked to come down and see you guys today for the original proposal. So that's the slides I have. I'm going to move on to the summary. When reviewing proposals to build over state-owned submerged land, we consider, among other things, the water dependency and the necessity of the structure. The intended goal is to limit the encroachment of the structures to the minimum amount necessary to reasonably achieve the intended use. Reducing the size of structures to the minimum necessary serves to reduce the potential adverse impacts to the neighbors, the general public, as well as the potential for building materials to enter the waterway during storm events or when they fall into a state of disrepair. As such, we cannot support the 1,020 square foot of deck space associated with the proposal. While a number of the large piers do exist on the river, they preceded the law change before there was a restriction on size. We're also concerned about a mooring pole set 100 foot channelward of the 225 foot long pier with a suspended clothesline mooring. We feel that this will pose a hazard to the boating public. Not all, but many of the clotheslines on that river are set at oblique angles to the pier and kind of keeping them inside the pier headline. And, you know, we have allowed those administratively, but going straight offshore and putting a pole offshore, we've had some very unfortunate recent, you know, mortalities out there on that river, and we just see this as a potential strike hazard to a boater or jet ski. We would offer instead that he consider a mooring buoy offshore that would give him the ability to, you know, to lay his boat out there when the tides don't let him put his boat in his lift. We think that would be safer. We believe that the main pier boathouse and pier shelter roof are appropriately sized, and we are supporting their construction as requested. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and considering all the factors contained in 28.2.1203A5 and 28.2.1205 of the Code of Virginia, we're compelled to recommend denial of the larger L-head, floating dock, and clothesline mooring. We believe that reasonable access can be accommodated with the construction of a smaller structure. As such, we recommend approval of the pier, boathouse, and pier shelter roof as originally proposed, with a maximum L-head of 400 square feet and an 8-foot wide by 16-foot long floating dock. We believe that a mooring buoy centered offshore of the applicant's property can also be approved, provided its location is limited to a maximum channel encroachment of 400 feet from mean high water. Should you agree, revised drawings would be, of course, necessary for that decision. And that's all I have, sir.
Questions? Ms. Fox?
Would you propose a clothesline arrangement with the mooring buoy or
no,
not?
No, just the buoy.
Just the buoy. So he'd have to figure out how to tie the boat up and get back in.
Correct. And we also discussed with Dr. Wynn, you know, we've been back and forth with the different administrative, you know, solutions. And, you know, his neighbor has one that's set at an oblique angle that's basically doesn't exceed their own pier headline. And I don't see a real problem with that either. It's going directly offshore, and it's, you know, we're afraid that when boats are running the pier headline, particularly at night, that is a problem. That's what we're concerned about.
Other questions, Mr. Tank?
Yeah, you mentioned sort of standard fares in the summary recommendations, reducing the size of structure to minimum necessary serves to reduce potential adverse impacts. It seems to me that is that relevant here? It looks from the photos that that's a pretty good fetch, and that a heavy northeast would beat up a. It's not as though it's in a lake or a.
No,
a waterway that doesn't have a fetch.
Across. It's several miles up and down the river. You know, I didn't measure, but it's probably in excess of 3 or 4 miles at a minimum. And we do have, you know, Isabel tore this place up.
Right.
It tore it up. And there's a lot of damage to piers. Obviously, all piers aren't built the same. And some people build them themselves. And we end up with a lot of debris in the water once we have a storm. And they do. Staircase coming down the shoreline. There's ice damage up there too, but there's a considerable fetch on this river.
So, follow-up question.
Sure.
Do people actually have many floating docks in this in the neck of the woods? It seems to me that given the fetch, that would be a pretty difficult proposal.
I don't see many. I've only been assigned up to this since 2004, but I typically see in this part of the river as a step-down platform as opposed to a float, because it's a windy area, you know, at times, and it can be very, very rough. I've seen one storm firsthand, and it was, there were 4-foot waves coming down the river, and I was more than impressed.
Yeah.
Other questions? Randy, explain what's on the screen there so just everyone understands.
This is, I should have told you that the dashed yellow is the roof outline. Okay. So what you have is your standard dual slip boathouse roof, and coming off the roof with a 400 square foot roof for shade over the platform, mm-hmm. and that is in keeping with the statute. The L head runs here, here, in here, and then of course the pier runs inshore here. So here's your L head, which is a combination of green and pink. We're saying if you pull this off the proposal, this represents a 400 square foot L head. This would represent, and I just ran the dock with the length of the L head, and this would give them what the code allows by statute. It would give them a little bit more than what the code allows to give them a float if they would like to use a float. I asked Dr. Wynn, would he like to consider a step-down platform because of what is more commonly used on the river? We wouldn't have an objection if that was a step-down platform, because obviously, you know, at the blowout tides, there won't be a foot of water on this thing. There's no water on this side of the river. So that's why clothesline moorings were very popular on this river before the advent of the boat lift. They came on in the 80s. Some people still like them, still want them. We're just concerned about the strike hazard of a single pile out there with, I think he said he would keep the line where you could go under it, but there's still a pole out there. And so the idea would be, with staff recommendation, is to reduce the L head to that 400 square foot platform, allow the float right here, keep the roof as proposed, and the catwalks are authorized by statute as well. And the roof we support, the neighbors support it. So and then the spreadsheet was just to kind of keep a running total of, I'm big on spreadsheets, on what the dimensions are.
Thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Owen?
What is the length of the boathouse?
We've got a 30 foot by 4 foot wide catwalk right here, so that's a 30 foot long slip. You got a 4 foot wide catwalk coming behind it, of course, to get to the outside slip. And the roof would pretty much,
34 by 30.
Just right over it. Yes, it's a 2 foot overhang this way and that way, and we thought that was appropriate. So,
So you're proposing to not allow the part in brown?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That area, we're recommending that this be removed from the proposal, and that this portion in pink of the float be reduced to that size. And that would total 520, as we calculate the encroachment pursuant to the General Assembly, that would be a total of 528 square foot of decking, which is 128 over what the statute normally allows.
Okay. Other questions? Dr. Wynn, would you like to speak to the commission? If you'd raise your right hand, I'll swear you in. You swear the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
God, I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Howard Wynn. Good morning. I appreciate your time and giving me the opportunity. I certainly do appreciate Mr. Owen's help very much and the process that's in place here. And I would like to explain to you a little bit about my rationale this morning. This was our initial proposal, as Mr. Owen stated, and basically the points of contention are the L-head deck as well as the clothesline mooring system. Initially, we proposed this 26 by 34 L-head deck as well as a 10 by 34 floating deck. I will submit to you that I did do this based on the piers in the surrounding area before I knew anything about statutes. And also my experience, we previously lived at Smith Mountain Lake, where much larger structures are very common. As for the rationale for the clothesline mooring, the water depth is very minimal, especially at low tide, as Mr. Owen said. The most accurate mean low water depths give me 2 feet 3 inches at the very end of my proposed pier, which isn't very much. I have firsthand experience trying to get my personal boat I have now on a neighbor's dock that goes out 300 feet. It doesn't go at mean low water. Furthermore, I went out this weekend and took pictures of the clothesline mooring poles. Within approximately 1 mile of my property, there are 18. 14 of these do stretch directly offshore. Four of them are either oblique or angled back towards the shore. But certainly I do recognize the strike hazard, and I actually appreciate Mr. Owen and the commission bringing that up, as it could potentially produce a liability for myself, and I have a possible resolution I'd like to propose for that as well. I feel the number of clothesline mooring poles in the area speaks to the necessity of them and also to the convenience. The water can get very rough at times. The water can get very low, and overall we have a pretty large range of tides. This is just one photograph, document what I see. It's probably hard to see, but if you look, there's one, two, and actually there are 11 clothesline moorings visible just from this area. And as you can see, these are stretching outshore here. But again, I will have a proposal for that. As for the increase in the pierhead decking, I know that's a point of contention. Now, I'd like to explain to you a little bit about my rationale and our reasoning for asking for that. First of all, we have riprap shoreline, meaning that our dock is our one and only place to access the water. Our bulkhead is well constructed, has great riprap, and actually raises it up to the floodplain level. So walking up and down the riprap is really not an option. As I went down over this weekend and photographed properties, I realized that our section where we live is actually the only place anywhere close on the Rappahannock River that doesn't have beaches, and that is related to the curvature of the land and how we are not able to form beaches there. And essentially, when you think about it, a beach for everyone else functions the same way as a deck. And that's why in my area I feel that you see a lot of these decks that have this grossly increased deck space, is because you don't have a beach that you can walk on, wade out, swim from, lounge on, or anything like that, and thus you're stuck having to use your deckhead. Secondly, we utilize the water daily. We are true water people and try to be good stewards of the water as well. Our first season with our boat, we put 150 hours on it, so we're not the typical waterfront retirees. We spend a good amount of time out there. Lastly, on this slide, our dock will be well constructed, quality materials, and we spare no expense, and we'll keep it very nice. We have already over doubled the investment price that we spent on buying our property, and I'll continue to improve it in every way possible. With that being said, I'd like to point out that although I do realize they are before certain statutes were passed, that our dock is very consistent with those in the area. If you go up and down the shore, I'll show you a few pictures here that are docks that are visible from my backyard. I focused on not the ones that, you know, are 500, 600, 700 square feet, but the ones that are counted in thousands. This one here is one just up downstream from us that has well over 1,000 square feet of deck space. This is another one here, a big enclosed structure, also has well over the deck space that is allowed now by statute. Here's another one here, another covered boat slip, similar to what we would propose, and once again has decking on both sides that exceeds that allowed. There's this one here, the square footage of that. This is actually two piers downstream from me, upstream from me. And this one totals, I didn't measure it specifically, but somewhere in between 3,000 to 4,000 square feet of deck space. This, as Mr. Owen says, my immediate neighbor, off which my pier proposal is directly based. His is roughly 30 by 30, not including his step down, and thus it puts him up near 1,000 square feet of deck space as well. This is, again, his showing his deck a little bit better with the shelter and his clothesline mooring system right there mooring a boat. So last but not least is my rationale is I do have an extremely large family. We bought this house not only for ourselves as a home, but also as a retreat for my family. We are a very close Christian family. We gather every Sunday afternoon, and we have hoped to do that at our house. I'm the second of seven kids. We are all getting married now and having kids. On any given Sunday afternoon, we have a minimum of 20 people gathered for Sunday afternoon lunch, and it was our goal to be able to have spring through the fall gatherings at our house. My wife and I currently have two children, one of which is with us and eating right now. But we hope to have a total of 6 to 8, good Lord willing. So there's going to be a need for this in the future, and we feel, you know, that's a consideration that we'd like you to take into consideration as well. As a summary of my rationale, I'd like to point out that there were no objections from the general public, from the newspaper ads that were ran. Furthermore, our proposal, while exceeding the statutes, is modest for our area. I've pointed out several docks and could name you several more, but did not want to bore you with a bunch of pictures. And furthermore, it's based directly on our immediate neighbors, whose dock is very typical for our waterfront area. The dock will be well-built and often utilized. The riprap shoreline makes this our only access. Our family is abnormally large, necessitating increased deck space, especially for the growing number of young kids in my family. And furthermore, our neighbors not only approve, but actively do support our design. My neighbors upstream, the Croxtons, were actually going to come down here today, but unfortunately, Mr. Croxton's brother is in the hospital. So he sent this letter and asked me to read it to you, if you will allow me to do so. To whom it may concern, we live adjacent on the north side to Tyler and Ashley Wind. We are so proud to have Tyler, Ashley, Tyler II, and Whitley in our Rappahannock River neighborhood. It is very apparent from what they have already done to improve their home and property, as well as to protect their riverfront from erosion, that they will be great stewards of their waterfront property. We are concerned for them regarding the restrictions placed on their pier application. It seems unfair that a pier being built between two other piers, both of which are modest compared to others in the area, cannot be of similar design. We have lived here for 25 years and witnessed the changes which have led to lower tides along our riverfront. Due to the curvature of the shoreline at this location, we have not been successful in establishing a beach. This means that as property owners and taxpayers who enjoy the Rappahannock, our only means of enjoying the water is a longer pier and more square footage at the end. We speak from experience when we say how instrumental this increased deck space is to our family's enjoyment of the water. I had to downsize my boats twice in order to launch and return at low tide, and sometimes, depending on the wind direction and moon, it is difficult or impossible to do so. Therefore, my adjacent clothesline mooring pole system is critical and frequently provides overnight refuge for boats. The entire community is very fortunate this young orthopedic surgeon has chose to come back home to his small town and ignore the big city lights. With that being said, number one, we have no objections and, in fact, strongly support the proposed pier design. We have firsthand experience documenting the convenient and necessary nature of the clothesline mooring system in this particular area, which is why they are so prominent. Three, increased deck space is instrumental to enjoyment of the water in this specific area. Their design is based directly upon our own. To reduce their deck space to less than one half of ours is discriminatory and will limit their enjoyment of this water. In summary, we urge you to consider approving their proposed pier design. We feel that the unique waterfront characteristics of this area, the existing structures which have set a precedent, and the uniquely large size of the Wind family make their design reasonable and necessitate individualized review. I have a signed copy if anyone would like that as well. So in the end, I would like to produce somewhat of a compromise proposal. I do understand exactly what Mr. Owen is saying about the clothesline mooring pole, and again, I respect that. And so what I would propose is actually when I go out and measure mean low water depth, I could actually safely moor my boat because of how the bottom is. I could go actually back inshore. So what I would like to propose with the clothesline mooring system is that instead of going offshore, that I actually go back in between the two docks, remain in my riparian extension here, and place that mooring pole where there should be no boats coming by, at least at a high rate of speed, and thus would significantly reduce the strike hazard in the area. Furthermore, I would propose, after looking at things, to reduce the deck to 20 by 34, which is, again, I realize, over the statute, but 680 square feet, and I do feel that I have good reason for that, which is why I'm taking your time to speak to you today. I also would propose reducing the floater to 8 by 32, which would make it 256 square feet, which essentially, in the end, will give me roughly a 30 by 30 deck instead of the 20 by 20, which is generally allowed by the statute. So with that, I thank you for your time and your attention. I do appreciate the process and the opportunities here. A special thanks to Mr. Owen, who was very gracious. He is a great representation of the commission here, and has been very good in working with us, and I'll be happy to field any questions you may have.
Thank you, Dr. Wynn. Are there questions? questions at this point? Could you go back to the previous slide that shows your...
Absolutely.
Mr. Fox, do you have a question?
I do, but you go ahead.
No, I...
Your floating dock, are you, did you consider a step down?
I did, and to address your question as well, you asked Mr. Owen, there actually is, the most recent dock put in is a completely floating dock, which was put in by Richard Stanford, who is a slight bit upstream from us. And I spoke with him about his rationale for that. Certainly in our area, I think whether you do a step down or a floating dock, it takes a beating. But unfortunately, the tides kind of demand, and, you know, I mean, at a very low tide, you know, in order to get your pier at the average height, you're going to have a 5-foot drop to the water. So, you know, if you come in your boat, you're going to be looking at eye level at it. Every step down I've seen is ripped to shreds. When I look up and down the river, all of them are missing planks. My neighbor actually has his most of last year taped off so no one stepped on it because they just take such a beating when the tide comes up. So in order to get it down low enough to be useful, you know, at a low tide, it's taking a beating in this rough water at a high tide. Certainly, I know the floating dock is not an absolute answer, but I felt that maybe it might be the less of the evils enable us to reach water level and be fairly durable, although I know that they're not going to last forever.
Well, a big floating dock is going to be like a battleship beating on the side of your pier. Mm-hmm. A smaller one is more like a destroyer beating on your pier, I guess.
Well, I appreciate that. I would gladly take that into consideration as well.
Dr. Wynn, help me understand the difference between your compromise proposal and your original proposal.
So, I mean, there was, while not a significant
I understand the clothesline is coming back.
Yes, correct. The clothesline is coming back, and I have reduced somewhat the size of the floating dock as well as the size of the L-head there. All this here has remained the same. I would also propose that the roof would likely extend over half of this. Mr. Owen has told me that generally 400 square feet is allowed. If you take that, this deck space would be 680. I would propose to cover 340, which would be half of that deck space.
Okay. Any other questions? Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on this item? Seeing none, the matter's before the commission. Mr. Beck?
I'd like to see us work some sort of method where we could grant the doctor his request.
Okay.
His modified request.
Yes.
What's the pleasure of the commission?
If there's no question, I'll make a motion. We approve his modified request.
All right. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Plumley. Discussion on the motion?
I think he's addressed the offshore problem with the mooring piling appropriately, and he's reduced the size of the floating dock, which will make it less damaging.
Yeah. Mr. Fox, can I ask your opinion, if I may? Just from a voice of experience, would you suggest the floating dock be reduced further? And you know, or would you suggest a step down as the less of the evils?
No, I heard your argument against the step down, and there's certainly something to be said for that because it would be down low, and the waves would be hitting it, and then that puts a lot of pressure on your pier.
Yes, sir.
With a floating dock, you do have the opportunity if you realize a big storm is coming, you have the opportunity to take that loose and get it out of the water,
sure.
Which you don't have with a step down.
Yes, sir.
And I can't judge whether yours is the compromise one is too big or not, but because I'm not that familiar with the water, I see it all the time, but I don't see it going up and down.
Any further comment on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. The compromise proposal is approved.
Thank you
for coming,
Doctor. We appreciate your time and consideration.